The psychiatrist who helped revolutionize our approach to death and dying has herself died. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was 78. Reporter John Bewin of American Radio Works has this appreciation of the Swiss-born author, best known for her groundbreaking 1969 book On Death and Dying.
For Americans younger than about 40, it may be hard to imagine the influence of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She emerged in the late 1960s as an outspoken critic of what she called the West's death-denying culture, and she critiqued modern medicine's approach to dying patients, the relentless efforts to extend life through surgery and chemotherapy. Here she is in a 1984 PBS documentary.
We have perfected the most sophisticated machines to keep bodies functioning. We never ask the permission of the patient. Is that really what they want? To me, that's a terrible dehumanization of the experience of dying.
Well, into the 1960s, most doctors never told their cancer patients they had the disease, let alone ask their opinion on a course of treatment. Kubler-Ross argued that dying patients needed more say, better pain control, and more dignified care. Her landmark book, On Death and Dying, was based on hundreds of interviews she'd done with terminally ill patients at Chicago's Billings Hospital. It included her theory about the five stages of grief typically experienced by a dying person: anger, denial, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. The book became a bestseller and was translated into dozens of languages.
She wrote a book. It became famous. People picked up Death and Dying. It was the introduction of death as a subject in America.
Eric Cassell is a retired New York physician and Cornell University professor. He says Kubler-Ross was the right person at the right time.
The private life became public in the 1960s. That's extremely important to understand that, because that made a lot of this all possible.
In the 1970s, Kubler-Ross traveled the world lecturing and promoting the fledgling hospice movement. But then she shifted course and started emphasizing her belief in reincarnation and a spirit world. She cited as proof the near-death experiences described by patients. As she put it in a 1975 radio interview,
I don't only believe there is life after death, but I know we have enough absolute verifiable knowledge. And once you know this, and you could share this with people, that is my next task, and this is why I stopped traveling and lecturing now, so I can put this together.
In her later books, Kubler-Ross described out-of-body experiences and other spiritual adventures. This won her some new fans and dismayed some of her old ones. Eventually, Kubler-Ross disappeared from the public eye, especially after a series of strokes in the 1990s that confined her to bed in a wheelchair. In an interview last year in Scottsdale, Arizona, Kubler-Ross complained that death was too slow in coming. Once freed from her damaged body, she said, she'd be able to dance among the galaxies.
This is a beautiful experience. You never experience what life is all about if you're not able to die.
Friends of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross say she died peacefully Tuesday at her Scottsdale group home. For American Radio Works and NPR News, I'm John Bewin.
American Radio Works is the documentary unit of American Public Media.